I think now I'm going to move into part two and really talk about the astonishing fruitfulness of the universe, which is quite remarkable. The scientific facts here are fairly clear and I think not in dispute. How to handle them, what to say about them is very difficult, and there are quite some controversies about that. But the basic factor that the universe is very fruitful in a quite improbable way, I think there is complete agreement about that. And I could talk at some length about this, but again, it's not my area of science, and it probably wouldn't be enormously helpful to go into a lot of the scientific detail, but I'll give you some of the basic ideas. If you're going to have the kind of universe in which life has got any opportunity to develop and flourish, you need a fairly stable universe. Now, the universe is dependent on balancing forces of expansion and contraction. The forces of expansion come from the Big Bang, the universe flying out from the Big Bang, still continuing to fly out all these years later. But that's balanced and constrained by contraction coming from the force of gravity. And if you're going to have a stable universe, you need to have these two forces remarkably finely balanced. And if the force of gravity had been a little bit weaker, the universe would have imploded on itself a long, long time ago. And if the force of gravity had been stronger, you'd have had implosion. If the force of gravity had been weaker, then the universe would have just sort of spread out into space before any life forms had the chance to grow and develop. And the balance between the two forces seems to be almost exactly right. So much so that until, about 20 years ago, there was no agreement in the scientific community about what the long-term future of the universe was going to be, whether it was going to go on flying out into space, or whether at some point that was the force of gravity was going to win out and it was going to contract. And the fact that people found that judgment so difficult to make is a reflection of the fact that this balance of forces is just incredibly well judged to give us the stable universe we need. There are other improbable things as well. The universe needs the element of carbon for life. All life as we know it is based on carbon. And that's not one of the elements that were produced at the Big Bang. It's had to be produced subsequently. And it's a rather improbable element to get. You need to get three heliums to collide and fuse in order to get carbon. And that's not something that you would think is likely to happen on any very big scale by chance. So if there's no carbon, there's not going to be any life. But as it turns out, there is a nuclear resonance that is exactly right to facilitate this fusion of three helium elements to form carbon. It seemed, even before people had discovered evidence for this nuclear resonance, there was a scientific feeling that the formation of carbon on the scale we have it was so improbable that there must be something that was making this possible. And then people found some evidence for this nuclear resonance. So again, the universe is remarkably fine-tuned to be fruitful. It's fruitful in a way that's wholly improbable. And again, how do you get carbon? There was no carbon at the beginning. So the universe, as carbon has formed in stars like our sun, it's one thing to get it forming there with this fusion of helium elements, but then you need to get it out of stars like our sun. to provide the opportunity for life to develop. And it's quite a complex process to get this carbon out of suns into places where life can develop. And for that, you need to have exactly the balance between the basic forces in the physical universe that we have. That is gravity and electromagnetism and a strong nuclear force and a weak nuclear force all have to be exactly as they are, else this process of getting carbon to form and then getting it out of stars so life can develop out of it is not going to happen. Again, the universe is just remarkably fine-tuned to be fruitful. And if you try monkeying around with any of those four forces, then you get a universe that is just not going to work. We seem to have a universe that has the only combination of values for each of these four forces that is going to produce a fruitful universe in which life can form and develop. So I think everyone's pretty much agreed about this. The universe is remarkably fine-tuned to produce carbon-based life in a way that is wholly improbable. What do you say about this? There are, I think, three main ideas around. One is what's called the anthropic principle. I'm not very keen on the anthropic principle, but I'll try to resist being too rude about it. Actually, I suspect I'm not going to manage to resist. It comes in various forms. There is a so-called weak anthropic principle, which really almost just restates the fact and that says any universe that we're studying and wondering how it came into being, that's bound to be fine-tuned for carbon-based life, else we wouldn't be around studying it. Well, that's all right as far as it goes, but it doesn't explain anything. And then there's a strong anthropic principle which says that that it was inevitable that the universe should have the properties that would produce carbon-based life, which is fine in a way, but the anthropic principle doesn't really explain why this was inevitable. And without some explanation of that, it's not really a scientific principle. It's just a kind of, just a statement of belief, really. And I think what's going on in that form of the anthropic principle is really a kind of religious thinking which has migrated across into what seems to be science. But it's still actually, if you scratch below the surface, still religious thinking. I mean, if you assume a creator God who intended the universe to be fruitful, then I think you've got some basis for saying that it was inevitable that somehow or other the universe would be fruitful, because that was the intention of the creator. But if you take the creator out of the picture, as the anthropic principle does, then you've got no basis for saying that, and it's just sort of hanging in the air, coming from nowhere, this sort of rather arbitrary claim that it's inevitable the universe is going to be fruitful, but no basis for saying that. So the anthropic principle doesn't really take us very far, I think. There are some other anthropic principles as well, which I'm not going to go into, but there is also a final anthropic principle, which one unkind reviewer of the book on the anthropic principle said ought to be probably renamed the completely ridiculous anthropic principle, which spells C-R-A-P, which you can put into a word if you wish. So much for the anthropic principle. I think it doesn't really take us very far. It's also kind of the wrong word, because the remarkable thing is that the universe is fine-tuned for carbon-based life. And there's nothing really about the physics that shows that it's fine-tuned for humans, which is what the anthropic principle seems to be suggesting. So much for the anthropic principle. Then I think you can play a sort of theological card. You can say that the fact that the universe is fine-tuned to be fruitful for carbon-based life in this wholly improbable way points to a creator God. It doesn't prove it, but it points towards it. And a lot of scientists, theologians have made that point. It's a point that my friend and colleague John Polkinghorne has often made. And it's all right up to a point. But I've got a bit of misgiving about it because it seems to be assuming that there isn't and never will be any scientific explanation for why the universe is completely fine-tuned. And I think that's a dangerous assumption for Christian apologists to make, that there is something remarkable about the universe which science is never going to be able to explain, so let's pitch in with a theological explanation. And the theologians have got their fingers burnt doing that notoriously with evolution. People arguing that there was no scientific explanation for why species should be so well designed for their habitat. So let's say that God created them, so they were well designed. That was a complete disaster. Well, are we on any safer ground in saying that that the universe is remarkably fine-tuned for life because God intended it should be so? I mean, John Polkinghorne would say we are on different ground and that the values of the basic forces, gravity, electromagnetism and the others, I mean, explaining why the basic forces are such as they are is really not something that science is capable of addressing. It's beyond the boundaries of what you can address with experimental science. So science is never going to be able to explain any of this stuff. And probably that's right. And John Polkinghorne's a physicist. It is his area of science. It's not mine. So I've always felt very wary of arguing with him about this. But still, I'm not completely comfortable with saying this fine-tuning of the universe is something science is never going to be able to explain. And say this remarkable balance there is between expansion and contraction. Cosmologists seem to be limbering up to getting some kind of explanation of that. There's a bit of cosmology that's called inflation theory. Again, it's not something I understand very well. The idea is that for just a few seconds, the universe was flying out at a remarkably fast rate. And then within the first 5 seconds or so, the speed of expansion was reined back to get something like the remarkable fine balance that we have at the moment. And I don't think we understand quite how that reining back happened. But I'm not convinced it's something that science will never be able to explain. So I think we may get some kind of scientific explanation of this balance between expansion and contraction. So I'm happy to say with John Polkinghorne that, yes, this remarkable fine-tuning of the universe for life is consistent with what we'd expect from a creator God. But I don't want to trade on a lack of scientific explanation for saying this. I mean, I'm happy to make the theological point, but to make that alongside a scientific explanation which we may or may not get in the future. And I don't want to invest anything theologically in whether or not we do get a scientific explanation for at least some aspects of this fine-tuning. Then there's the multiverse theory. How do you explain this very improbable universe? You say that there's a whole stack of universes. And if you get enough universes, you're going to get one highly improbable universe in the end, just by chance. When I was an undergraduate, there was a rather entertaining book on probability theory that I read had some quite catchy ways of expressing things, and it said, in an infinite series, the impossible is certain to happen. Which is a slight exaggeration, but you get the point. In an infinite series, the impossible is certain to happen. If you get an infinite series of universes, one that is as wholly improbable as ours is certain to happen in the end. So we shouldn't be surprised at this universe. It is just sort of just one universe out of an infinite series. And of course, the one that we're studying is the one improbable one that was capable of producing people like ourselves. Of course it is. Well, it's a perfectly possible idea, and but it seems to me scientifically a pretty desperate manoeuvre. And it is really not a very scientific idea. Science has prided itself on putting forward ideas that are testable. And this idea of multiverses, as it's called, this idea there's an infinite series of universes, is not remotely testable. The only universe we can study with experimental science is this universe. We can't study any other universes. This idea that there are other universes, an infinite series of universes, we can't study that. It's an untestable idea. Some scientists have got very superior with theologians and crossed with them for putting forward untestable ideas and prided themselves on science being testable. But the idea of multiverses is just as untestable as anything that theologians have put forward. So you can't rule it in, you can't rule it out. In that way, it is a bit like a theological idea. You can't prove God, you can't disprove him by science. You can't prove multiverses by science or disprove them. And for science to resort to an explanation that it can't test is a reflection of how desperate science is in this corner. And I think they're sort of very scared of the apparent theological implications of this fine-tuned universe, and so are willing to resort to any desperate, unscientific maneuver to try and get out of it. It might be right. I've got no reason for disagreeing with it. It might be right. But it's not an idea that theology would have any great difficulty in accommodating. I mean, why should it not be God's strategy for bringing this fruitful universe into being to give rise to an infinite series of universes in which it is inevitable that one would be fruitful? Why should God not do creation in that way? I mean, as I'll be saying in a fortnight's time, I think it seems an evolution that God has provided an almost infinite array out of evolutionary possibilities, out of which some have been fruitful. Why should that principle not apply with multiverses as well? So, as a Christian believer, I'm not scared of multiverse theory. I can't refute it. I don't think anyone has got any grounds for accepting it or believing it. And as I say, it's a pretty desperate idea. It still seems to me reasonable for Christians like John Polkinghorne and myself to say that this improbable fine-tuning of the universe for carbon-based life is the kind of universe you would expect from the Christian God that we believe in. It doesn't prove God, but it's a good point. And my only quibble is that I don't want to make that hang on the lack of scientific explanation. We may get some scientific explanation as well, and then I think what I'd want to say about it as a Christian would be complementary to what science would have to say about it. I don't want to present the two as alternatives.